Evan Bray, great to have you here. I was just talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, and Marine texts in from Nipawin saying, "Hey, Evan, don't forget Treyu Savage struck out Shohei at his very first World Series appearance, and he's back on the mound tonight." That's a good point. That's a good point. We'll take all of these points. Marine goes on to say, "So there, Shohei isn't unbeatable." That's right. We proved that last night. Laura Lee Davies, the acting chief of police for the Regina Police Service. Are you watching the Blue Jays games?
I have been watching. I wasn't able to watch last night. I was at a community event and I got in my car and it was just the ninth inning. And so I was able to catch the last few pitches. But yeah, we've been watching religiously in our house.
I was going to say, you've got a daughter, your older daughter, big ball player.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And both girls are really into it. So yeah, we're cheering and yelling and certainly hoping for a good outcome tonight.
Well, it's good to have you here. Laura Lee Davies, the acting chief of police for the Regina Police Service. So I know you've been busy this morning. You haven't been glued to the Evan Bray Show, but we've been talking a lot about the news that came down yesterday, the announcement Farooq Sheikh fired by the Regina Board of Police Commissioners. I know that you don't have you weren't involved in the investigation. You have no inside knowledge of it. But can you talk about what the last 6 months have been like? You've been basically steering the ship. You've been the leader in the organization waiting for this outcome. How has that been for the organization?
For sure. You know, I think that anytime there's uncertainty at the top, it creates a little bit of uncertainty amongst our front line. And so I think for them, it is good to have a resolution. I know that, you know, there'd be instances where people in the public would be asking questions about it or making comments about it. And I mean, even I've heard things about, you know, should we be making these decisions right now? We're in this position where we don't know what's happening with leadership. And so I think for the service as a whole, it's great to have a resolution on this, you know, no matter what the outcome would have been. But it's nice to know, okay, this chapter is closed. It's behind us. And now we can move forward and really get to the work that needs to be done, which is ensuring that we have community safety in our city.
We, on Open Lines today, talked with people, and we had a number of people that called in and texted in. And I was asking, you know, does this change the way you trust the police service? When you hear about cases like this, whether it's an individual officer or, in this case, a chief of police, you know, does it rattle the way you feel about the police service? I would say the majority of people texted in saying, no, you know, these are these cases, they get investigated. That's the system that's in place. What are you hearing? You're out in the community. You were out last night. What have you been hearing from the community in that regard?
Yeah, I think that, you know, policing is really based on relationships. And so depending on the relationships you've had with different members of the service really personally impacts how you feel about police. So even last night, I had good conversations with community members in North Central saying, hey, we've dealt with police officers who've been fantastic. They're great. You know, we love the way that they interact with us. And so we have confidence in the Regina Police Service. And so I think for all of our 600 employees at Regina Police Service, it's those one-on-one interactions that might not seem like a big deal. But I think for everyone, having those interactions in a way that's positive really frames their opinion of the police service. So I'm happy to hear that the sample of your viewers are saying they still have confidence in the Regina Police Service. And certainly my commitment and our officers' commitment to continue to do what we can to ensure we maintain community trust.
Laura Lee Davies has been in the acting chief role for the Regina Police Service for the last number of months. Will you apply for the job?
Well, I don't know what that will look like yet. I understand the board hasn't determined what will happen yet. And so, you know, obviously, I think it's not a secret. I applied for the job a number of months back. I've been doing the acting role for some time now. And so I care very much about our community and about our members. And if the opportunity were to present itself, I would think that I would say yes.
So the answer is yes, you would. I'm gathering from that. Laura Lee Davies is my guest. Okay, so you have been holding down the fort the last number of months. There's lots of different things to talk about. You actually joining me in studio now, but heading right back to the police service. Because there's an announcement, a funding announcement from the province. And I know you can't scoop exactly what is the funding for, but it's coming from civil forfeiture.
Right. So every year, police services have an opportunity to apply for civil forfeiture grants. And so this is essentially the money that police services in the province seize from criminal investigations. It's gone through the court. That money has been forfeited. forfeited. The province has that pool of money, and then they ask police services to apply to determine, you know, if we have something that we would like to fund through that. So in the past, we've had things like our outdoor training facility that is used actually by the Saskatchewan Police College. We've received funding for that, different pieces of equipment that we need. I know last year, Moose Jaw received funding from civil forfeiture for their child advocacy center. So it's really about that, taking that money that's been forfeited, money that was used for evil, and turning it into something good. And really, it's a great way for us to not rely on the taxpayers of our communities, that we can use that money to help offset costs.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, that's a big part of that, is it's comes from ultimately crime, proceeds of crime, as opposed to through a tax base and taxpayer money. So we'll be following, I think, the announcements at 11 o'clock this
morning.
Yes,
it is. You bet.
Laura Lee Davies is my guest. So I had a text the other day, and I actually saved it because it was from Debbie, and she was calling in from Regina. Her son was trying to sell a phone, an iPhone, made arrangements to meet at the Regina Police Service safe trading zone. Is that what we call it?
Safe
transactions.
You bet.
Yeah. And said that transaction was seamless. And she just basically said, I don't know if you've heard of this, but I think it's a cool thing. Pretty well used initiative.
Yeah, I don't have stats yet. It's still pretty new for us. It was something that we shamelessly borrowed from another police service. And it's really about, we know people buy and sell things online, and it's a great way to get a deal in some instances. But we also take a number of reports from people who get robbed or have had a theft or are defrauded by meeting someone, you know, when there's no one else around. So in a dark parking lot, in a, you know, street where there's nobody out in the public. And so it's really a way for us to be able to say, here is a space. It is well lit. We have cameras there. You know, if you're not sure about the transaction, clearly you likely don't know the person that you're dealing with. This is a safe way for you to have that exchange. It's done in a way that we can, after the fact, if there was something that would happen, we could pull that video. So I think it's just another option for people to protect themselves, and hopefully we can reduce some of the crimes.
And if you're the seller or the buyer and the person you're trying to deal with refuses to meet there, maybe it's a red flag.
Agreed, 100%.
Okay, we recently saw the Regina Police Service followed suit with what, or sorry, I should say the Regina City Council followed suit with what Saskatoon Council did, enacting and utilizing the Safe Public Spaces legislation that the province laid out. Municipalities, organizations have to opt into this. And you provided, I think, some perspective in a presentation to City Council on that. Your view, just generally, again, on this act?
For our front line, it's really just another tool in the toolbox for us. I don't suspect that we will be utilizing it every day, all the time. I think there are certain instances where it'll be helpful. For instance, we, under previous legislation, were able to issue a ticket for bear spray. Or if you had a bear spray container that was defaced, you couldn't tell what it was, that was a ticketable offense. That legislation was repealed, and it's now rolled into this new legislation. And so we did utilize that for a number of charges in 2024. So I think that will be one of the ways that we use it. And then I think just for other instances, you know, if we see somebody who potentially is vulnerable, maybe they're facing addiction issues, you know, we come across them with something like a machete or a knife, they're not threatening anyone, they're not using it in a manner that would equate to a criminal charge, we can still seize that weapon to ensure community safety, and we can do it under this legislation in a way that is authorized for our front line. And if we want, we can issue a ticket. But I think to be able to seize those weapons without charge is just another tool for our front line.
Without a criminal charge. I mean, that's, I think, part of what you hear people that are opposed to this. They often will say just a way of further criminalizing people, but that's the exact opposite.
It is the exact opposite. And I know there was a lot of concern raised about hypodermic needles. They are included in this legislation as defined as a weapon. You know, we are not about to be seizing hypodermic needles from people who are going to exchange them, for instance, or they're used for medical purposes. You know, we do support harm reduction. I don't think that this is an either or. We can be in favor of harm reduction and still utilize this legislation in some situations, exactly as you outlined, without criminalizing someone.
Lauralee Davies is my guest in studio, acting chief for the Regina Police Service, regular monthly check-in. If you have a question, by the way, 1-877-332-8255. Happy to get your text and pass it along. We're going to take a break. When we come back, cold weather's coming. We've seen lots of and heard lots of talk about encampments. We'll talk about what the strategy is heading into the winter when it comes to some of those social challenges. Also, some refreshed crime stats presented to the Board of Police Commissioners yesterday. What are the trends? What are the hot spots? Is there any good news? That and more with Lauralee Davies when we return here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Frank does a good job with the music.
I'm always impressed by his selections.
Yeah, the theme, you know, catch us if you can. By the way, while we were in the break, you got a text message because we were just talking about the Regina Police Service Safe Transaction Zone. So this is where people that are buying and selling online can agree to meet in front of the headquarters. There's cameras there. You just got a picture. There's a transaction going down this morning.
Absolutely. I got a picture that someone was buying or and selling a car. There was a picture of two people out there with the hood up. We're checking the engine. And so, yeah, I'm very happy that it's being utilized.
Yeah, that's good. Lauralee Davies is my guest, the acting chief of the Regina Police Service. So every month you had your board meeting yesterday. You present the new and updated crime stats. We're heading now into the last part of the year, which, of course, gives us a good reflection on how we compared to last year. Where are things at from a right, let's talk about the good news and the bad news in the crime stats.
Right. Well, the good news is we're down almost 17% from last year. So this is as of the end of September. So both property crimes and violent crimes are down, which is fantastic news. In terms of the, you know, not so good, obviously for homicides this year, we are trending upward. As you know, there's kind of no rhyme or reason in terms of those numbers year over year, whether they're high or they're low. The good news from our perspective is that we've laid charges in all of the homicides we've had this year. And so I think for the community to know that we're holding those people accountable, I hope is some solace. And arsons continue to be a little bit of a pressure point for us. They're still up just over 5%. But we have a committee going with RPS, with the City of Regina, with Regina Fire and Protective Services, and they're trying a few different things, pilots around garbage bin pickup and trying some different things there because the largest majority of fires that we go to are garbage bin fires. So I think over 22% are garbage bin fires, and so that's a big number. So if we can do something proactively to reduce those, then that's a good thing.
The let's go back to the murder stats. You said murders are up a bit. You know, I know often we would categorize was it a drug related incident? Was it domestic related? Can you give us a sense? Is it still following those types of themes? Anything standing out there?
I wouldn't say there's a theme, but I think it's all of the things. Some are drug related. Some are gang related. Some are unfortunately domestic related, and so. It's hard for us to pinpoint one area, but certainly our investigative units that work in the gang space, work in the drug space, are doing the best that they can to be able to, you know, stop those things before they occur. And certainly knowing who's out there causing the most havoc in the city and arresting them and holding them accountable prior to an escalation of violence is something, obviously, that we continue to do.
Mm-hmm. Lauralee Davies is my guest. I noticed I was flipping through the crime stats. I noticed criminal code driving infractions are up. Anything you can point to that might be causing that?
I would say it is 100% related to the fantastic, diligent work of our traffic safety units. That unit is fully staffed this year for the first time in a couple years. We've had some people off on different types of leaves, and so they are a dedicated crew of folks, and so they are really doing a great job in terms of impaired and exceed driving, dangerous driving. I think our impaired driving charges are up 12% over last year, and dangerous driving charges are up 37%. And I think another part of that is having our front line adequately resourced, and so they do have patrol or have the time for patrol officers to be able to conduct those traffic stops. They're not going call to call to call, but have the opportunity to do some proactive traffic enforcement.
There's a question that just came in on the text line from Ralph, and it actually leads in nicely to something I wanted to talk about. So Ralph's question is, Is there still a law about people being drunk in a public place or under the influence of drugs in a public place? And, you know, I guess he didn't ask it, but I'm assuming to the point that it's a danger to themselves or others. So does the law exist? And then my follow-up question is the complex needs emergency shelter, which I know you capture in your crime stats as well, has been used fairly extensively by the police service. So how does that factor into it?
Absolutely. So the first part of the question, is there still a law? There is. It's under the alcohol and gaming regulations where it is an offense to be intoxicated in a public place in a way that, you know, a danger to yourself or others, essentially. I would say for the most part, our goal is not to ticket folks that find themselves in those situations, because we recognize certainly that it is likely a health, it's an addictions issue. And so we are fortunate in the fact that in Regina, we do have a complex needs facility. And so if we find somebody in that type of situation, we can transport them to the complex needs facility, and they're able to speak to someone there, an addictions counselor, a mental health worker. They work to try and find them housing, a hot meal, a shower, a, you know, conversation. And so previous to that facility, the option was detention, which, you know, we're keeping somebody there until they're at a point where we feel like they can responsibly take care of themselves, or the emergency room. And so we know that that is also not the best option. And so whenever we can, we will try and transport people to the complex needs facility. And so we can hopefully interrupt that cycle and get them on a road to recovery.
We're headed into cold weather here. We know that we've seen homeless encampments pop up from time to time. And typically this time of year is maybe where they become a little more noticeable. Is there a strategy in place? Have you talked about this with city and fire, how these will be handled if that happens?
Well, we have an encampment strategy team that meets weekly, and they have for quite some time. So Regina Police, Fire, Bylaw, the Ministry of Social Services, Regina Street Team. So they meet weekly to discuss situations where we see encampments pop up, who is the best to lead that, who's the best to reach out and provide support. And certainly with the New Beginning Shelter, that's been utilized as well. And so that is a place for folks to go that are experiencing houselessness. And so as the weather gets colder, I know that we'll hear from other community partners about additional spaces that people can go to ensure that they are out of the cold. And so that work will continue to amp up as the weather turns colder.
Takes us to the end of our time. Laura Lee, always appreciate you coming in. Obviously, it's probably been a busy last 24 hours since your board meeting and everything that unfolded there. But I look forward to continuing these regular monthly check-ins with you.
Same. Feel the same way. Thank you so much for having me on.
Laura Lee Davies, Acting Chief of Police for the Regina Police Service. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Darren Ulmer, who we have had on this program many times, financial planner with Sun Life and president of White Owl Financial Solutions, here with a couple of topics to address when it comes to financial planning and money management. That's coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.